And for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning Night Multivitamins. YouDocs@gmail.com, YOUDOCS @gmail.com. It's the middle of February, past the middle of February on the calendar, past the middle of winter. Days are getting longer at the end of the day. That's a good thing, but still some winter to go, especially if you live in the Northeast, where winter can seem to tend to kind of drag on even past March and then part of May. How to beat those depressing months of winter for what's left of it? What's some advice you have, Dr. Mike?
Get out, that is, get in the light, and get with friends. So get out. Being social is one of the best ways to stave off depression. Get light, especially that blue light. It is low light levels, especially of the blue light, are known to contribute to seasonal depression. Get active. Exercise helps. If you need help, if those three don't work, talk about getting help. And then the last one is, of course, this happens more to the seniors than anyone because they often are confined to an apartment and they all have more depression. Don't drink more. The key is get out, get walking, and get light.
Is it more severe in winter states where the winter weather hits harder than places where the weather's nice?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So you're right. I used to think going to a basketball game with friends was the best therapy, especially at the Carrier Dome, you know, where you have all those bright lights and you're with friends and there's a lot of shouting and other conversation. You get plenty of bright light.
There's a lot of drinking there, though.
well, order the water.
I don't know. I'm not sure more water is sold than the other. I wonder how they do it in Alaska. You know, in Alaska in the wintertime, how many hours of sunlight do they have? Two? Three?
I don't know. Not enough.
No.
They probably have those blue light boxes.
Well, the sun comes out at about 10:30 in the morning, in the dead of winter, obviously, in the months of December and January. Sunrise is like 10:30 in the morning, and sunset is 2 in the afternoon.
Well, why don't we have Bridget look up on the Google whether seasonal affective disorder is more common in Alaska?
Okay.
And then the darn the cold weather. Then in the wintertime, the sun is up almost 24 hours a day. They book tee times in Alaska for golf at 11:30 at night because you can play all day long.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. You can. We were in Alaska in the summertime. People were playing golf at midnight.
You're really serious about
it. The sun is available 22 hours a day in the summertime.
Huh, I thought you were joking.
No, and the sun and it's darkness 22 hours a day in the wintertime. It's very harsh. But a lot of people from the mainland go to Alaska to live. They love it. They love the summer weather. It's a beautiful thing. Have you heard about this bionic eye? Mike, the FDA's approved the first use of an artificial bionic eye.
I haven't. Tell me about it.
To give the blind limited vision, you wear glasses outfitted with a video camera that transmits visual data to electrodes implanted in the eye, and then the signals bypass damaged parts of the retina and move along the brain for processing. Now, it's nowhere near full vision, but as one user put it, when you don't have anything, you know, this is something. It's a lot. The FDA approved it to treat those with retinitis pigmentosa. They use it in Europe, and it's called just the start of. It's hailed as just the start of technology that's going to get better.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a race because there also we had, I would guess, 3-4 months ago, we had a top medical news story of the first of the stem cell transplants for the retina. To replace cells in retinitis pigmentosa, and successful, I think about one out of three of them was successful enough to restore almost full vision. using these stem cells from grown from their own bone marrow. So I think it'll be a race to see which technology is the most brings most hope to patients.
Somebody from the National Eye Institute said they've got a lot of exciting things sitting in the wings now, and multiple approaches are being developed. So by this should be available later this year in this country. But $100,000 is what they expect it to cost. So that's pretty pricey. But again, as they say, when you don't have anything, this is something. It's a good start in the right direction.
Joe, you listen to the radio, at least during your own show, obviously. But when you go out, do you have the email and other things read to you, or do you read, if you will, your emails and other things sent to you via email?
I don't know what you mean. When I'm on the air, is that what you're saying?
No. When you're
home?
when you're away from the radio station.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have things read to you? In other words, the technology has improved so much that you can have every email message on your iPhone mm-hmm. read to you, or you can have all the Word documents sent to you read to you, or all your tweets read to you, whatever you want to hear. Do you have that done?
No, I don't. I'm self-sufficient. I read my. I want to maintain that that sense of self-reliance as long as I can.
This is self-sufficiency. It's just that sorry or some mechanical reader reads it to you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what would you do? Would you just sit there and just put your feet up? And,
No. This is why you're, for instance, while you're driving, you can get distracted by your email if you want.
Okay.
Or while you're, you know, any place else.
Really? I don't think I need to... read my email as when I'm driving. But I read it myself. I mean, with this technology, you never know. I mean, it's who knows what's going to be available to us, you know, as we get so farther on down the line, as far as technology goes. Let's get this one story in before the bottom of the hour, and then our guest about aneurysms at 34 past the hour. The headline is "Picking Addiction Help," Dr. Mike.
Right. This is very important, and this is an interesting article, because what it basically dealt with was the fact that the addict has to want to quit. That can be done, if you will, by an intervention the family does if the addict is too far gone, so to speak, meaning if the addict has too much denial. But quitting a addictive habit, whether it is smoking or drugs, usually takes multiple attempts. And it's very important to assess the quality of the clinic and the people you're going to and working with you. So the whole point is that trying to quit alone is whether it's cigarettes or anything else, is much tougher than trying to quit with help. I can give you the data on cigarettes just as an example, but it's a similar thing for alcohol or drugs. If you try and quit cold turkey, you have a 2% chance of success. If you try and quit with just the nicotine patches or the anti-craving pill, it goes up to about 6%. If you try and quit with the pill and the patch together, it's about 10%. Pill, patch, and exercise, 15%. Pill, patch, exercise, and professional help, over 30%. So going from 2 to 30%, that all it is getting extra help. It's not you. It's those drugs are too tough. You need help to combat them.
Do you think hypnotism might work?
Hypnotism does work for some people, but it's a small number in whom it works for. So I don't know whether the last time I looked at it was an additional 4%. Nothing near as good as the patch, anti-craving pill, exercise, and professional support.
Listen, don't go away, because our guest segment is coming up. The topic will be brain aneurysms. And over the next 20 minutes or so, you'll learn how to manage aneurysms, unruptured aneurysms, and the latest updates on aneurysm treatments with our guest. It's coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Thanks for listening.